Okay. All right. Hey.
What?
We're doing a special episode today.
We are.
Did you know this?
I heard the rumor, yes.
So we're doing it on, of course, our favorite, most impactful business books. So in honor of that, I did a little bit of sleuthing on Wikipedia.
Oh.
I want to look at the top four best-selling individual books of all time.
Yep.
And I want to see if you can name one of them. Do you give me it? What would you put?
The top-selling books of fiction and nonfiction, or just nonfiction?
Fiction, nonfiction.
Fiction and nonfiction.
Yeah, all time.
Well, the number one would be the Bible.
That's not on Wikipedia. Okay. But yeah. You're right. Why isn't the Bible on here? Because it's individual books.
And okay.
The Bible was not written by an individual. It was written by God.
I gotcha. Fair enough. God getting okay. royalties here. For all okay. that stuff.
No, so I'll read this to you. Let me see what you think. So number one, A Tale of Two Cities, Charles Dickens.
Yeah.
Published in 1859. The second one, The Little Prince, Le Petit Prince, 1943. Antoine de Saint-Exupéry.
Huckleberry Finn's got to be on that list. Yeah.
It's not. It's not on this. The Alchemist, which you and I both
love that book. Yeah.
That's number three. And then Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone.
Crying out loud.
Good Lord. By the way, she is all J.K. Rowling is all over this list. Like, it's really, really incredible.
That's says something about us.
But I think that you're right. I think it is the Bible. It is the Bible. That was really a group effort. Kind of like Killing Marketing was for us.
There it is.
Not that I'm comparing those two. Okay, let's go.
Just remember, everybody, when your story to tell it well. Of this old marketing move.
And now, for your listening pleasure, here's Polizzi and Rose, covering the week of media, marketing, and digital content news. This Old Marketing. Take it away, boys.
Well, hello, my friends, and welcome to This Old Marketing, proudly brought to you by the HubSpot Podcast Network, the audio destination for you-know-who business professionals. And I'm Robert Rose, and welcome to episode number 422, a very special Blossom episode, as we like to call them, for Friday, April 5th, 2024. And with me, as always, as he always is, my friend, my colleague, and a guy who's definitely not getting kicked off of NBC News, Mr. Joe Polizzi.
Well, we don't know. We're recording this at a different time. This is a special episode.
That's right.
We don't know what's happened with the NBC News saga.
Oh, yeah, we do. She got kicked off.
Did she?
See, yeah.
I'm always 3 days behind. I didn't know.
She's out. She's out.
She was in and then she's out.
The revolt, all the on-air talent went, no. And she got kicked out. Yeah.
Actually, I'm surprised that happened, because normally, and we see this on both sides, the right and the left, but generally it's been the right where they spend a long time saying things that they don't believe, and then they leave, go to the news, and they say, well, now I'm free to talk what I really believe.
That's right.
And in this case, it didn't work. She couldn't bring it around.
F around and find out is what it is. Yeah.
Oh, it's man, that's nuts.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Well, I am excited about our special episode here.
We've been wanting to do this one for a while, yeah. So I'm super excited about it as well. It was really hard, actually, to come up with only five business books.
How long did it take you? It took me a little bit of time to really. I'm still not sure. Like, these are the five. It might change tomorrow, but today, this is what I would say.
I would say it took me less than 15 minutes to come up with 20, and another hour to whittle that down to five.
My God, I don't think I've ever read 20 business books.
Oh my gosh, I read 20 business books a year easily.
I read 20 thriller novels a year.
Yeah,
easy. Of course, that says a lot about your approach versus my approach.
I read very little fiction these days. I do read it, but I read, you know, mostly. To be honest, mostly Star Trek novels
makes perfect sense. Yeah. Did you read Patrick Stewart's autobiography?
No, I have not read his autobiography.
What's it called? Like Make It So.
Something like that. Yeah.
You have,
yeah.
Well,
and Shatner. And by the way, Shatner has a new book out too. So
what's that one called?
I don't know off the top of my head, but I know it, but I know he's got a new book because he's making the rounds.
The Trouble with Tribbles.
The Trouble with Trouble. Yeah.
The Trouble with Trouble or something like that. All right. So why don't you lay out the game plan for how this is going to work and then we'll rock it.
Sure. Absolutely. So what we're going to do, folks, is we're going to talk about our five most impactful books, and we might have slightly more than five with the way that we do things here, but basically the five most impactful, these are not the books that we were most entertained by. This was not the books that were sort of wonderful or inspired one particular idea, but they've had the biggest, highest impact on us, on our careers in marketing. And we'll also talk about the major lesson that we learned from that book. So hopefully it's useful from a what the lesson that we learned out of it, but also hopefully gives you, if you haven't, a good bedside reading list of some classic, great, amazing business books.
And by the way, we should say that, you know, I had your book on my list and you had my book on your list, but we said, no, that's not right. We can't promote our own books.
Oh, really? Aren't you? I didn't get that memo, but yeah. Okay. All right, then.
I just wanted to put that out there so you didn't feel bad that you're not mentioning one of my books.
I didn't feel bad that I wasn't mentioning one of yours, but because most of yours are written with me and I'm featured prominently in it.
Every one of my books,
this new one, this Content Entrepreneurs.
You mentioned it. I think your name's in it somewhere. I don't know where.
Maybe. It's
in there. It's in there. If you were part of my little club, you would have got to write a chapter.
What club? What little club
Our never-ending, our CEX never-ending ticket club.
Oh, right, right. The Gobstopper Willy Wonka thing, right? Yeah, I see.
Oh, my God. Sorry to get off to a bit. Okay, would you like me to start first?
I would like you to start because you're starting with two and I'm starting with two, and then we're pairing them up together and then we'll go back and forth on individual books.
So very good. I wanted to start with these two together because I have often used both simultaneously. But the first book that I wanted to mention is Think and Grow Rich from Napoleon Hill. By the way, a very chauvinistic book if you read it today, but the lessons are absolutely there. I read this book first, Robert, I think when I was 18 or 19 years old, and it impacted the way that I look at a lot of different things. And there's a lot of there's multiple ways that you could look at this book. You could pull out all sorts of chapters, but what I just want to take one little saying out of this, and then I'll go on to the next book as we pair these together. So there's a saying here. Napoleon Hill says, opportunity has spread its wares before you. Step up to the front, select what you want, create your plan, put the plan into action, and follow through with persistence. And I like that quote because it's spread throughout the entire book. And it's this whole idea of, if you want anything in life, if you want anything in business, you have to set goals.
Yep.
Things just don't happen. You have to set your goals. You have to have some idea, and they might change. You have to have some idea what you want. And that was probably when 18, 19 years old, that's the first time when I started setting any kind of goals. And then quickly on the heels of that one, someone gave me The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen Covey. And from that one, again, a wonderful book, but this is an idea. So you pair the setting goals thing that Napoleon Hill talked about, and then you go into this idea of beginning with the end in mind. I don't know if you do. I still use begin with the end in mind in a lot of my presentations because I talk about, especially as a content entrepreneur, hey, if you're going to do this thing, what do you want out of it? Like, visualize what the end would be. And this is for anybody in content marketing, anybody in content creation. Like, why are you doing this? What's your purpose? What are you going to get out of it? What do you think that the measurement should be? What's the end result? Begin with the end in mind, which Stephen Covey says, and I pulled out a little part here. It says, to begin each day, task, project with a clear vision of your desired direction and destination, and then continue by flexing your proactive muscles to make things happen. And it was probably then in my life, Robert, that I started to write down my goals. So I had some idea in my head through Napoleon Hill, like, okay, well, what do I want to do with my life? what does happiness mean to me? What is my career? What are my career goals? And then I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to take that, take what Stephen Covey says, start to write those things down. And that's when I created my little goal setting system that I've talked about on this podcast before, where I said, okay, now I'm going to take those goals and put them into six categories: financial goals, family goals, spiritual goals, mental goals, physical goals, philanthropic goals. And from that, I take those two books and brought it together. So I wanted to start there with those two, Robert, because not just business oriented, but those two books have basically led the entire way that I look at achieving goals and happiness in life, where, hey, if you want something, write it down. And if you review that every day, it'll start to work on your subconscious and you'll make decisions throughout the day toward that, the completion of that goal, whether you know it or not. That's what I would say. So there you go. There's my first two.
Love those two. And we, and again, honestly, full transparency, we did not plan this, but it's fascinating that you're begin with the end in mind, which I've always loved as well. I mean, I love that book. And it's such a great book. And he's also wrote the Speed of Truth, which is another great book. Mm-hmm, you know, and how you know, fast trust is a speed of trust, excuse me. Speed of Trust, and how fast, you know, relationships are built based on trust. My two, and there's a, you'll see the connection here in just a moment. So I have two that I'll, cause I couldn't pick between them. One of my favorite business authors is Rita Gunter McGrath. And I would just recommend anything that she has written. She's one of my favorites, but she wrote two books in particular, which have had the biggest impact on me. One is sort of a big vision book. It's called The End of Competitive Advantage. And then the second one, which has had probably the most profound impact on the way that I do my consulting practice, is called Discovery Driven Growth. And I'll speak to Discovery Driven Growth for a minute here, because it is, so I have a concept that we do in our consulting engagements, and whether you're a big company, a small company, and I've talked about it in talks, and I talk about it in my classes, that we call the story mapping process, which is almost blatantly stolen from her, what she calls discovery driven growth. It's the really, I've just ripped it off. And it's for her, it is about business planning. It is about a business plan, and she has a concept in there called the reverse spreadsheet, which is basically you start with the end result. You start with the end sort of place that you want to be in your strategy, and then you reverse out all of the things that are going to be in your way and all of the things that need to be true in order to reach that. And it basically builds you a project plan. It's basically how to do it based on your discovery of growth and where, you know, where you want to be, and then reversing that process out to find out where you want to be. It's I will warn you that the book is extraordinarily geeky. I mean, it gets very granular very quickly, but it's an amazing book. And it's basically had, you know, I've used the story mapping, it's evolved over the last few years, but my story mapping process is something that I've leaned on for myself, for clients, for just about every time I'm putting together any kind of change initiative. And that gets to sort of the end of competitive advantage, which sort of sums all that idea up. And I'll, just like you, I'll read something from End of Competitive Advantage that sort of summarizes my, it's the biggest impact on my thinking, which is, she says, if you think of competitive advantage as something that is transient, you'll organize your company in very different ways. You're going to be very careful about having your organizational system settle down too much, because too much stability can be dangerous. And basically what she argues in the book in End of Competitive Advantage is that there's no such thing as sustainable competitive advantage anymore. You just don't have it. And so you've always got to be in a constant process of change, that the leading companies that lead their sector, the one thing that they're really good at is coming in and out of competitive arenas. They go in, they go out, they come in, they come out, they change. They're always in a constant state of change. And that has always struck me as sort of the best marketing teams, the best ideas in marketing are always those marketing teams that are not thinking about where they are today and what they're going to change into, but just literally working on the muscle to change whatever they need to change into at any given point, and always focused on that. So those are the two books I would point to as my number one.
Excellent. Yeah. I mean, quite a bit different, but I see the linkages.
Yeah. The linkages
between the two. Yeah. So my third one is interesting, as you saw on my list. And I talked about this in my 2018 keynote at Content Marketing World, and I got harassed and made fun of by Tim Washer, and still to this day, for talking about this on stage. But I don't care, because I'm going to talk about it anyways. And my book is Stranger in a Strange Land by Robert Heinlein, which is not a business book.
Why would that be? I can't imagine why anybody would have a problem with that, but yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm going to, this is from, at least in the book that I have, which is right over here, page 181. I'm going to read this little section, and then you'll know why he made fun of me a little bit.
Okay.
So here it is. It says,
yeah.
It said, Mike gives a kiss his total attention. So basically, Valentine Michael Smith is the man from Mars.
Yeah.
And he's never kissed a woman before. And one of the ladies is talking about getting kissed by Michael. So this alien, okay. he's a human being, but he grew up on Mars. Okay. So she says, Mike gives a kiss his total attention. I've been kissed by men who did a very good job, but they can't give kissing their whole attention. No matter how hard they try, parts of their mind are on something else. Missing the last bus or their chances of making the gal, maybe worrying about a job or money. But when Mike kisses you, he isn't doing anything else. You're his whole universe, just kissing you. It's overwhelming. So the reason why I talk about this is in everything that I've looked at in the business models that you and I have built together, it's all about focus. It's all about doing one thing at a time really, really well, and sort of mastering that one thing, or focusing on one key audience or one key content niche, and not doing five or six or seven things at one time and sort of spreading your content energy all over the place. And I saw this, not just I think I read this when I was a younger kid, younger chap. So I'm reading about this woman talking about getting kissed by a guy and how, his whole being, his body and soul and mind were all in that moment. Okay, I like that. I took that, but also with the fact that in business, in marketing, in your communications, this works really well. And if you go on and you want to look at examples, and you remember the time when Warren Buffett and Bill Gates first met, they never met before. They were asked to write down the most important word, their most important key to success. And they wrote it down on a piece of paper, and then they shared it simultaneously. Both of them said focus.
Yeah.
And so over and over again. So this book really is about focus. And if you read the entire book, it hits you over and over again about the importance of being present, but also being great and excelling at just one thing. And that's kind of what I took out of it. And of course, I really do believe it's one of the greatest science fiction books ever written. But it's also one of the greatest teachers of focus that I've ever read as well.
Yeah, it's I mean, I love that book. It's an amazing book. It is one of the few fiction books that I've read. I mean, I've read a lot of science fiction. It's definitely my genre. And it reminds me very much of one of the books that I almost put on my list, which is also not a business book. It's, a big piece of my spirituality is based in Buddhist thinking. And so Thich Nhat Hanh, who is a Buddhist teacher, talks about mindfulness, right? Being present, being, like when you're doing the dishes, you do the dishes, right? When you do, when you're here, you're in the moment, you're be there, right? That present is focus is such an incredible gift and an incredible strength. So yeah, I love that. I think that's perfect. Fantastic. Yeah.
And by the way, I don't know about you, but I read it probably once every other year. And I
don't. Do you really? Oh, that's fantastic.
It's the book that I've read more than any other book is Stranger in a Strange Land. So I probably read it 20 times at least.
Oh, that's interesting. Mine is The Alchemist for that. I read that.
Oh, probably. Such a good, I read that on your recommendation. I know that's not in our list either, but I read that on your recommendation, and I've read that a couple times now. That is so impactful.
It really doesn't
to read it once. You don't do it justice. You almost have to read it a second time for it to make a bigger impact.
It was on my longer list, and then it got whittled out as I started thinking about business impact and marketing impact. It was like, it's been more of a personal impact for me for sure.
All right. What do you got next?
My next one is one that's going to come as no shock to anybody that has listened to me. I get annoying on this topic, but Philip Kotler's marketing management. It is, in my estimation, the book. If you're in marketing, if you haven't read this book, if you didn't have to read it in university, in most university courses, you're going to have to read it and use it. It is marketing's textbook. I mean, there is no other. There. It's in its 16th or 17th edition now, and it's been everything on my bookshelf as a dog-eared sort of, you know, every page with highlights and all those kinds of things too. Now it's on my Kindle where I've got dozens and dozens and dozens of notes associated with it. It is absolutely one of the books that has made me, if I'm any good at as a marketing person, the whole crux of it. And it's something that I quote, I don't know, at least once a week, is his mantra of what marketing is, which is the CCDVTP. And you know, I have it memorized. It's tattooed on my forehead: create and communicate value to a target at a profit. And that is, it's so good as a definition of marketing. It explains content marketing. It explains everything we do in marketing strategy. Is if you're always focused on creating value, and that means creating value with your messaging, creating value with your content, creating value, creating, if that's all you do, you will do well. And it's mm-hmm. such an amazing thing. And every part of that book is imbued with that.
That's so, it's so perfect as we go to the next one, but we're not going to go yet. We're going to go to break, but
okay. Yeah.
But it'll fit really well with my next one. All right, we're going to go to this one first.
Here you okay. go. So much like the age-old question to skinny jean or not to skinny jean, marketing strategies can come and go and come back again. Who can keep up? Luckily, there's HubSpot's 2024 State of Marketing Report, The Skinny, if you will, an all-in-one guide for what's happening this year and how marketers can best approach it all. The report covers everything from increasing awareness and engagement to ensuring privacy, boosting efficiency, and, of course, growth. Don't get caught behind the trends. Visit HubSpot.com/stateofmarketing to get your free copy of the report. You looking to hustle into a new podcast? Well, I recommend Hustle and Flowchart. The Hustle and Flowchart podcast is all about how to build a business so it gives you the freedom and fuel for your life. Join host Joe Fier as he discusses systems, mindset tweaks, reframes, and strategies for entrepreneurs, and really anyone, to enjoy the process of being in business and having fun. This isn't for the entrepreneur looking to build a billion-dollar business. Rather, someone who is looking to build systems to help you make more money than you need just by working part-time. Get the Hustle and Flowchart podcast wherever you follow your favorite pods.
You know, we missed it, but March 27th was National Joe Day. I didn't get a card from you.
National Joe. I didn't even know there was such National a thing.
Joe Day. Yeah. JK, you know, Mr. Kalinowski and I were celebrating National Joe Day, but nobody else was celebrating it with us.
Is it a national or international Joe Day?
No. It is. Well, I guess it's international. I guess it would be
a global. It's global Joe Day.
Yeah. It could be Joseph or it could be Peppino. It could be it's all the Joes. All the Joes were celebrating.
All right. Well, I apologize that I missed sending okay. you a card on
you're
Joe.
You're a great friend, but you know, yeah. I'll let this slide. Okay. So
you're my regular Joe.
So my next one is one near and dear to my heart, is Don Schultz's, IMC, Integrated Marketing Communication. First of all, just to say something about Don, I had the honor to, I maybe be friends with him. We got together on a number of occasions. I was able to go out to lunch with him when I was really, really young and getting into the business. And I called him up and he took the call and I asked him out to lunch and he said yes. And we went out
nice
to Gibson's in Chicago, which was his choice, which is one of the greatest steakhouses on the planet. And I just talked to him and I listened to him. And that's when I, at the same time, of course, as I was learning about Don Schultz, the professor at Northwestern, I got into his book, IMC. And there's a couple things I want to share about this one. But the one thing that he says, I'm pulling this from the book, is this idea that any company anywhere in the world can copy everything about what you do, right? Except for one thing, and that's how you communicate. So the way we communicate with our prospects and customers is the one remaining way we can actually be different. And I love that idea. Very hard to do, by the way, but I love that because, of course, with technology today and all the things available, the democratization of content even, there's still an opportunity that we can communicate differently, we can brand differently. And I love that. And the other thing that comes from this book that I really learned, especially as I got into custom publishing and then into content marketing, was the first thing you do is not external communications. The first thing you do is not to figure out how you're going to communicate with your customers. The first thing you do is how do you communicate with your employees. Internal communication is way more important. And if you figure that thing out and you understand that the most valuable communicators and marketing machines that you have are your employees, you will be that much better prepared to communicate with your customers. So I absolutely love this book, IMC, Integrated Marketing Communications, from Don, passed away. What was it now? I think it was 18.
Yeah.
2018, five, six years ago. But absolutely. I remember the last time I saw him was at an event. We were sitting on a couch on some veranda outside. There was a party going on around us, and we were just talking about where we thought content marketing was going for enterprises. And I'm like, you can't get any better than this. Like, this is one of the greatest thrills of my life. This is such a good, wonderful person and an amazing book.
I got the chance to meet him as well through you when we did the documentary, and had the chance to sit down and talk with him a little bit about integrated marketing and about content marketing and all those things. And he was just such a true gentleman, right? A gentleman, and so thoughtful and so wise. And it was just, it was the thrill of my life as well, being able to sit and chat with him and just listen to what he had to say about, you know, he's steeped in history and really knew what was what, right? He had a very firm grasp on the practical, what happens, you know, what actually happens, not some esoteric ivory tower stuff, but really actually what happens in business. So yeah, fantastic.
But also, I think also, and things that you and I have learned from him, is this whole idea of paying it forward to like the next generation.
Yeah.
I mean, I was nobody, nothing. Like, why would he take a call from a kid I was like 27 years old at the time or whatever. Yeah. I didn't know nothing about nothing. First of all, he takes the call with me to talk with me. And second of all, he actually accepted the lunch offer, which, by the way, you know, outside of the fact that he was generous to do that, you don't get anything without asking. So like, ever want to meet somebody, if you're getting to going to somebody's town and they're, and like your mentor's there or somebody, like, contact them and say, let's get together for coffee. Like, you would be surprised how many times people actually say yes.
Yeah.
Don said yes. So
yeah, absolutely. Kotler was the same way, by the way, with me when it was a bucket list item for have Kotler write the foreword to my last book. And he agreed and then said some very nice things. And we had a lovely chat via phone about marketing and what was going on and his, you know, what his views were. And it was wonderful.
So good.
Yeah.
All right. What do you got next?
All right. Next, I'm going to go with a book that is very much under the radar for most. Those of you who have heard me talk about business books will have heard me reference this book, but it's probably on differentiation, the book that has impacted my thinking the most in terms of thinking about how to differentiate. And the book is called Different by Youngmi Moon, who is a Harvard business professor, marketing professor. Amazing book. It is truly around the idea of how to differentiate in a modern market and how to think not just better, not just more features, not just different benefit statements, not just, you know, but how to think about your position in a marketplace differently, right? So it's literally how to think differently about making yourself different in a marketplace. And it is the different that's important, not necessarily the better. And making sure that you carve that space out for yourself in the way that you tell your story, in the way that you present yourself, in the, you know, in everything you do, all of the sort of operations, the way you do, you know, the tasks that you do, the way you go to market, the way you present yourself in market, it's all about being different. That plays a key role in everything you do from a branding standpoint. You know, a lot of people just think it's, you know, branding is putting a different color paint job on the outside of the logo. And for what she explains so wonderfully in that book is it is about how do you present yourself differently. And it's just a fantastic book.
Fantastic. It's so good. Yeah. It's interesting how, like, we didn't talk about this beforehand, but how these books sort of all feed on each other.
Yeah.
With our way that we see the world and business. So, all right. So are we ready to do our final book?
Yeah, I have two actually, but I'm going to pair them together. But yeah. Yeah. So go for it for your final book.
The assignment was five. And here you are.
Sorry, I can't. I mean, I found it incredibly difficult to get to seven. So yeah. So sue me. Yeah.
All right. No, that's okay.
Yeah.
So my final, because I did the assignment. My final is this was tough because I wanted to add a book by Malcolm Gladwell. Actually love his podcast and The Tipping Point. I mean, you could mention a lot of different books, but I really wanted to pull specifically from David and Goliath by Malcolm Gladwell because it was a really big teaching at a certain part of my career that I really took and I sort of ran with. And it was this whole story. He breaks down the story of David and Goliath, and a lot of people don't, you know, whether you're small David, you know, slings the stone, defeats big Philistine Goliath, wins the war, the whole thing. But he breaks down what really happened if these two, and I think they did actually exist, going through it. And he talks about the fact that most people in those days, they fought hand to hand. That was the way that you fought. And Goliath was very difficult to beat, was beating everybody because he was huge. He was something, and they said that maybe he was around 6'7", 6'8", huge. And he would destroy anybody that got close.
Right. The mountain.
The mountain, right? But the difference is so basically all David did was, it's like, how did little David beat the Goliath? And Malcolm turns it around and says, there was no way that Goliath had a chance because David played the game differently. He didn't fight person to person. He fought from a distance. So he said, okay, I can't compete against Goliath's size and strength. So what am I going to do? I'm going to go from a distance and I'm going to fire shots at him with rocks and just laid him down. And it was the easiest, the quickest fight that ever happened because Goliath was so big and he had problems moving. He couldn't compete with David.
Yep.
And what I think was interesting is David had this advantage, but if David would have fought like everyone else, David would have failed. David said, well, what's my advantage? My speed, my accuracy from a distance. So I'm going to play the game differently. So kind of taking this back to our learning, you know, if we think about entrepreneurs of small businesses, they don't have a big enough budget. They can't compete with some of these big enterprise businesses. Well, you know what? Don't play the same game. And specifically, you know, I'm leaning into the whole idea of maybe it's not advertising. Maybe you go to market a little bit differently where you can build that audience first that knows, likes, and trusts you, and you can do things a little bit differently and then have an advantage from that standpoint, and you don't have to do it like everyone else. And we could talk about that on and on, but I look at that in a lot of different ways to think that we are telling that story historically the wrong way, that the underdog, David, won, and that's not true. The underdog was Goliath, depending on how the game was played. And I just appreciated the way Malcolm Gladwell twisted that around, and I use that all the time. So
yeah, I love that. Well, you know, I mean, the Star Trek in me goes, man, he Kobayashi Maru'd it, basically. Yeah. It's Kobayashi
so
Maru.
So good. Yeah. So good. I love it.
That's he changed the nature of the game. He basically changed the nature. Didn't cheat. He changed the nature of the rules of the game. All right. So I'm going to finish with two that are paired together here. The first is, so sort of like Your Stranger in a Strange Land, it's not necessarily a business book, but it's had definitely probably the biggest of all of the books. This one might have had the biggest impact on my career, like my marketing career, which is Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance. And it's Robert Persig, amazing book, for so many things. It's also a book that I revisit a lot. And so the one lesson that I'll pay it forward here and sort of say that, you know, sort of has, there's many lessons in it, but the one that really gets to me is, substance versus popularity, right? So it's something that we face as content people all the time. Like we think, well, what's great content, right? What is, so is it popular or is it substantive? Because not all the time can it be substantive and not all the time can it be popular, right? And it's rarely both. It's rarely that we get the sort of magic comes together and we create something that is truly substantive and truly meaningful, you know, as practical, you know, sort of usefulness, and also goes viral, right? Goes incredibly, and that tension between popularity and substance is something that they talk, that Persig talks a lot about in Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance, where he talks about the fact that you can't have a quality ride on a motorcycle that hasn't been properly maintained. In other words, you can't have a great ride on a motorcycle if you haven't done the maintenance on the motorcycle itself. So you, a quality ride is, of course, the wind in your hair, everything you're doing, you see the great sights, you don't even think about the motorcycle, right? You're just having this most amazing ride. And then, of course, maintaining the motorcycle, you're focused in on the details and the gears working and everything working and ever together. And so basically, without the great ride, there's no purpose in maintaining the motorcycle. And without maintaining the motorcycle, you're never going to have a great ride. So you have to be able to balance both and sort of live with that sort of the balance and the tension between those two things of creating substantive things that no one may ever notice, and that also creating the popular things that make you feel good and feel you feed your ego and make you do all those things. And it's such a powerful lesson. And that feeds into, and this is the last thing I'll mention, which is Clayton Christensen's book, How Will You Measure Your Life, which is basically, again, not really a business book, but written from sort of a strategy or a business strategy to take for your life, where he talks about how, what it is you do, and this comes all the way back to sort of where you started, really, which is this idea of what it is that motivates you, that gets you excited, that makes you, that it gets you, you know, excited for life, is way more important than the satisfaction or anything else you may get out of any job that you're doing. And I talk a lot about this with entrepreneurs when I talk to, you know, especially those that are starting their own content creator business or entrepreneurs or early stage companies, where I talk about form versus function. And I always say, don't get too wrapped up in the form of what it is you want to be, because ultimately, as you start manifesting things in your life, setting goals and all those kinds, if you get too wrapped up into form, you can lose sight of what it is that actually makes you happy, and instead focus on the function. So the most practical example of that is, if you think of yourself and you're setting goals for yourself 5 years from now, think about the function of that day. Think about the function of that, you know, where you are, what you're living, what you're doing as a function of the day, rather than I'm the VP of XYZ corporation, or I'm a CEO, or I'm making $1 million or whatever. What is the function? And envision that, and you'll be much clearer and allow for different futures to come in for yourself. And the example I always use is me, where my function, the thing that I wanted to do so badly as a 19, as a 20, as a 21 year old, was to write, to be on stage, and to create great stuff that people loved. And I always thought that the form of that would take the form of a writer or a musician or some sort of performer on stage. And I'm doing my function. Like, I'm doing the thing now that I love to do, that I wanted to do as a 21-year-old. I just couldn't envision it as a 21-year-old. So the function being more important than the form. So that's the book for me for thinking about that.
I love that. Absolutely. That was a good rounding of books.
I mean, that. I knew that was going to be a great, fun thing to do, and I'm glad we did it.
Yeah, I hope everyone enjoyed that.
We'll put a list of all the books, obviously, in the show notes so that people can.
We'll absolutely put a list in the show notes, and then we can always say, well, the next special episode we do on books will be the next five.
Well, right. The next five.
We have four more episodes here that we could do on books, but maybe we'll take a different tilt to it next time.
And we could also do five fiction books, or five movies. Ooh, five movies that shaped our lives. Yeah.
Oh my God! The possibilities are endless.
The possibilities are endless,
there
aren't they?
There we go. Awesome.
Okay, fantastic. What do you got? So you're as we record this, you're away this week, and so you'll be back.
I'm coming back. I'm coming back into. I'll share on the next episode what all my shenanigans and what we ended up doing. But then The Content Entrepreneur, my new book with 32 other amazing creators, comes out on April 9th. So
cover's great, by the way. The cover of the book is so fantastic.
That was inspired by Jim McLeod, who's in our group, and finalized by the Tilt Publishing team. And I'm really excited. It's really interesting. I'll share as this goes, but to sell direct and not use any of these third parties like an Amazon or Barnes & Noble is such a different experience.
The authors are sort of going to offer it up on their website or point to one website, or how's it going to work?
Yeah, so we have two sites for it. One is on the CEX site everyone in general can go to, and then one is on my site. So basically, there's two different places that you can order from. And
because after all, the globally renowned Joe, right? You are the reason that we celebrate Joe Day.
I am part of that because I am a Joe. Yeah, but that's right. Other than that. But yeah, I'll share. A lot of people have been asking me about how the process is different and why and whatever. And that what's interesting too is I want to do this. We're working on the audiobook now. I want to do the same thing with audiobook. So instead of doing it on Audible or Spotify or whatever, how's the process changed?
That's going to be interesting.
So I mean, these are things that authors are dealing with right now because I think we have to, because the idea of controlling our data. And a better revenue split, just better for the overall creator. So anyways, I'm excited because I'm learning something new.
I think it's
important. So what do you got going on?
I will have just been returned from Chicago, where I'm spoken at Digital Summit. So hopefully that went well. And I'm speaking to myself in the past, which is weird, time travel. But at the same time, I will be getting ready, honestly, getting my presentation ready for CEX, because I'm working hard. I want to do something cool. I want to do something really good and valuable for the attendees. And I'm speaking generally on how to put a marketing strategy together for content entrepreneurs. So I want to have something that's really meaty. And so I'm working hard on that.
It's going to be great. I can't wait. It's going to be, registration is really starting to pick up now. We're going to have a really, really good group come to Cleveland. I'm very excited about it. So, all right, cool.
Very good, sir. And we will be back for all of you. Thank you so much. I hope this was a valuable show. We've certainly loved doing it. And let us know, by the way, let us know if these books resonate with you. Let us know if you enjoyed it. Would love to hear from you, obviously, on all the things. And of course, we'll be back regularly scheduled programming next week with our wonderful, wonderful news program. And until we see you next week, just remember, it's your story to tell. You tell it well. We'll see you next week on This Old Marketing. Hey, thanks a lot for making it this far in this week's episode, and thank you all for being a part of This Old Marketing. You can check out all the show notes of what we talked about today at thisoldmarketing.com, and it's also where you can leave us a review or a voicemail. We need those reviews and comments on whichever platform you follow us on. And if you haven't followed the podcast, please go do that and make sure you catch the latest and greatest episodes every Friday morning. We're on Apple and Spotify and all your other favorite podcatchers, of course, but we'd love it if you went over and subscribed to us on YouTube. That's right, YouTube. YouTube.com/@thisoldmarketing. We'll see you again next week, folks, with another episode of This Old Marketing.